Checking with a good friend of the program, MMQB and former Buckeye, Albert Breer. Albert, good morning. Happy 2021, man. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you guys, too. What's happening?
Oh, not a whole lot. You know, everything and nothing all at the same time. So just hanging out, trying to be strong, Albert, as I'm sure the rest of the country is today as well. So we'll start you off here, man, because round one of the NFL playoffs, a lot happening in Super Wild Card weekend. Obviously, a new format this year. Only one team gets a bye from each conference. If you are, you know, a team in the NFL right now, if you're an opposing coach, on either side of this, Albert, who do you least want to face right now in the playoff? To you, in your opinion, who's the scariest team right now heading into these 2021 NFL playoffs?
I think the team that's playing the best is Buffalo. And I think it really sort of played out over the last 6 weeks. And it's not, you know, it's not just a team getting hot. It feels more like a team coming of age, if that makes sense. They won their last six games by a margin of 229 to 110, which is, I mean, like, that doesn't happen in the NFL, right? Won every game by double digits. The average margin for a victory over their last three games against the Dolphins, Niners, and Patriots is 30 points. So I think if there's a team I don't want to see, particularly in their place right now, it would be the Buffalo Bills. And like I said, like, so, such a big part of that is it's not a mirage. You know, like, this is what they've been building to. And you look at their roster, and there are good young players in every position group, whether, you know, it's obviously Josh Allen, a quarterback, but also Stephon Diggs, a receiver, and, you know, Deion Dawkins on the offensive line, Ed Oliver on the defensive line, Tremaine Edmonds at linebacker, Tre'Davious White in the secondary. It's just, it's not just good players. It's like cornerstone pieces in every position group. So, you know, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have done a heck of a job, and they're playing, I mean, at a level that's off the charts right now.
So, as you look around Super Wild Card weekend, obviously there's some COVID issues in Cleveland, which could, you know, make that game a little bit messy. But, you know, outside of that game, I believe the only game that has the division winner to be an underdog is in the Titans-Ravens game. And so as you look across this, are there any games where you think there could be substantial upsets or significant upsets? I mean, I know you just outlined Buffalo. Some people like the Colts, but you know, where are you looking at here over these six games where you think there could be a little uncertainty?
Well, I believe Washington's, what, an 8-point dog as a division winner, right?
So, oh, yeah. I don't count that. I'm sorry, Albert. I didn't count. Yeah. I didn't count the NFC.
You have to be at least 500 to be counted as a division winner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Like, that one kind of intrigues me for a couple reasons. Number one, that stadium, just a Florida team going up there and playing on what can be a really sloppy track in January, where weird things happen. Like, if I was Tampa, like, my radar would be up for that part of it a little bit. And here's the other thing. If there's one thing that's, you know, really caused Tom Brady trouble over the last 20 years in the playoffs, if there's one formula for beating Tom Brady, it's being able to get to him with four rushers. And what's the one thing that Washington can do at an elite level? They can get to the quarterback, right? Like, so, like, I just look at the combination of potential field conditions, you know, going from Florida up into the Northeast. And then, you know, Washington, like, while that roster is slot all over the place, they sort of had the formula to beat Brady. I would watch the first couple series of that game. Because I think, you know, if they can get Chase Young and Montez Sweat loose on the first couple of series, I think the Bucs could really be in for a dogfight.
I don't know where our guy Schlegs went. Is his microphone up or what's happening? I'm not even
I turned
really
it. I know
sure.
My microphone's up. I'm bringing right, the juice. You should have heard what I just said, so I'm going to repeat it. We're talking to Albert Breer from the MMQB on the Brian Heaney and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. He also has a podcast. Just like we do. You should go hit him up. It's called the Albert Breer Show. Oh, by the way, side nugget, he's on Twitter, at Albert Breer, super original. Anyways, that being said, all the issues with Cleveland because of COVID, Stefanski being out, the good thing, I mean, I guess the one good thing is the fact that it was earlier in the week, unlike losing all four of your wide receivers the day before the game, is that you have a little bit of time to adjust. What does Cleveland have to do to win this game in Pittsburgh?
I mean, like, the one thing that kind of scares me a little bit of it about it is the game management stuff. Like, I think play calling you can manage. I mean, they've got a very experienced offensive coordinator in Alex Van Pelt who's called plays before. So is it going to be perfect? Maybe not, but, you know, I think you'll be okay there. But what does that mean for the rest of the offensive staff? How is the defensive game plan playing into the offensive game plan without the head coach overseeing things? And then you're taken away from the special teams by, you know, taking Mike Prefer and making him the interim head coach. So I just think some of the game management stuff in a playoff environment is going to be really interesting to watch. And how do they handle two-minute situations? How do they handle the end of the game? Those are the sorts of things that come into play. I still give the Browns a shot, though, because I think over the last 6, 7, 8 weeks, they played better than the Steelers have. And, you know, they're more healthy. They're getting a little healthier now. Losing Betonio, having to face that D-line with Tua and Hayward's a problem. But, you know, I think the Browns have what it takes to keep the game close and keep it tight on the road, you know, in that Sunday night game. I think the one thing you want to watch here as far as, like, losing Kevin and how it could affect the bigger picture is how they handle some of the situational stuff and the game management stuff that always come up in playoff games.
Albert, we had Black Monday this past week, 6 current NFL head coaching openings, another GM opening coming up with Denver with John Elway kind of bumping himself up the team operations rank. To you, I think it's Jacksonville and it's LA, the two most desirable jobs, maybe the two most, you know, illustrious ones there. To you, which one's the most challenging that has opened up this year? Who's got the biggest challenge ahead of them?
It's tough. I mean, I think like it sort of depends on if you're talking about from a GM standpoint or a head coach standpoint. I think from a head coach standpoint, it might be Detroit, because I think you're going to have to go in there and you're going to have to rearrange a bunch of things. And there's, I think, a bunch of healing that needs to go on there. And your roster is full of players who are sort of specific to Matt Patricia and his program. And so I think from a head coach standpoint, there's some things you're going to have to work through there. And I think the bigger question is, are you going to have Matt Stafford or not? Because if you and your general manager come in and you make the decision that you're going to move on from Stafford, well, then you're sort of starting over again. So I think the head coach challenge is biggest there. From a general manager standpoint, I think it has to be Houston. Mm-hmm. Because I just think that organization just needs to be turned upside down in a lot of different ways. And so I think Nick Caserio going in there, like, having the quarterback's huge, a really, really big deal. And you've got a guy who you can build around for the next 10 years in Deshaun Watson. But you have no draft capital this year. Your cap is a complete disaster. You're aging in some key spots. That doesn't mean like J.J. Watt and J.J. Watt and Kenny and Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks, doesn't mean like you don't have like players that can still play, but you got age in some of these spots. So I just think from a GM standpoint, it's like you're sort of stuck between a team that was built to win right now and a team that needs to be rebuilt in certain places. So I think Houston and Detroit are probably, just from, you know, a head coach and a GM perspective, probably the two most challenging out there.
So Albert, it's, we stay with that theme, you know, and dive into this. Are you surprised that, you know, outside of Nick Caserio, there really hasn't been any hirings, and you know, we're almost a week out of this, and usually by this point in time, you get, you know, some of these teams, unless they're waiting for specific guys, which usually that becomes evident, you know, middle of next week, who are probably still playing. Are you surprised that there really hasn't been a whole lot of movement yet to this point?
I actually think, Bobby, like, some of it has to do with the Zoom thing. You know, it's weird, but, like, you know, because the rules have made it so, at least for the guys who are in the playoffs, you've got to do these interviews via Zoom, right? So some teams are deciding, we're just going to do all of them via Zoom. And you know what that allows them to do? It allows them to knock out 2 or 3 interviews in a day if they want to. And so now, instead of, all right, like maybe we got to pick 5 or 6 guys we're going to talk to, if you want to talk to 10 or 15 guys, you can do that. And so I think some teams are sort of taking advantage of this and saying to themselves, well, why not cast a wider net? Why not look at a bigger group of people? And so I think that that's slowing things down a little bit because I think teams feel like they have a little bit more, I guess, leeway to be a little more open-minded and cast a wider net here. The other thing is, and I think this is obvious, there's no, like, Chip Kelly that in 2013 or Andy Reid or what Bill O'Brien was in 2014. I don't know if there's like too many candidates out there where there are multiple teams just chasing after him. In fact, if there's one, it would probably be Arthur Smith, the Titans offensive coordinator, and he's still in the playoffs, so you can't talk to him yet anyway. So I think because of the circumstances of 2021, and what 2020 has done, did to the 2021 hiring cycle, you know, I think it's just naturally slowed down a little bit because teams are casting a wider net.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That makes a ton of sense. Albert, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the football this weekend. We know you'll be cheering on the Bucks Monday night. Like I said, always appreciate it and look forward to chatting with you again soon. Have a good one, man. All right.
Absolutely. I'm going to be down there. So hope.
Oh, all right. Perfect.
I'm pretty fired up. So hopefully the game gets played on time and we can shock the world.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. Appreciate it, Albert. Enjoy the game down in South Beach and we'll chat with you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.